Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Dr. Reddy's Laboratories Limited Q4 FY16 and Fiscal 2016 Earnings Conference Call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal for an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Kedar Upadhye. Thank you, and over to you.
A very good morning and good evening to all of you. Thank you for joining us today for Dr. Reddy's earnings call for the fourth quarter of fiscal 2016. Earlier during the day, we have released our results, and the same are also posted on our website. We are conducting a live webcast of this call, and a transcript shall be available on our website soon. Just a reminder, the discussion and analysis in this call will be based on IFRS consolidated financial statements. To discuss the business performance and outlook, we have the leadership team of Dr. Reddy's comprising Saumin Chakraborty, our Chief Financial Officer, Abhijit Mukherjee, our Chief Operating Officer, Dushyant, who is the Head of Corporate Development and Sales and Marketing of Proprietary Products Business, and the Investor Relations team. Please note that today's call is copyrighted material of Dr. Reddy's and cannot be rebroadcasted or attributed in press or media outlet without the company's express written consent. Before we proceed with the call, I would like to remind everyone about the safe harbor. This discussion will contain certain forward-looking statements which are based on management's current beliefs and expectations and involve a number of known and unknown risks and uncertainties that could cause our future results, performance, or achievements to differ significantly from what is expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements. For more detailed information on the risks and uncertainties associated with the company's business activities, please see the company's Form 20-F for the fiscal year ended March 31, 2015, and Form 6-K for the quarters ended June 30, 2015, September 30, 2015, and December 31, 2015, and our other filings with U.S. SEC. Now, I would like to turn the call over to Saumin Chakraborty, our CFO.
Thank you, Kedar. Greetings to everyone. Let me begin with the key financial highlights. For this section, all the amounts are translated to U.S. dollars at the convenience translation rate of rupees 66.25, which is the rate as of 31st March 2016. Consolidated revenues for the year are at rupees 15,471 crores or $2.34 billion and grew by 4%. Consolidated revenues for the quarter are rupees 3,756 crores or $567 million and declined by 3% year-on-year. Revenues from our global generics segment are $465 million. As we had expected and in line with what we had discussed in our last call, this quarter witnessed a series of headwinds. These include sequential decline in the ruble, moderation in the injectable offtake post higher third quarter, and continued constrained operations in Venezuela. The North American generics business continued to be strong, and domestic formulations business sustained. Revenues from our PSI segment are $87 million and declined year-on-year by 22%. This reflects in part the impact of delay in dispatches on account of the ongoing quality improvement activities related to the U.S. FDA's observations. Consolidated gross profit margin for the quarter is 56.6%, recording an increase of 180 basis points over that of the previous year. This is majorly contributed by a relatively favorable business mix. Gross margins for global generics and PSI were at 63.2% and 20.6% respectively. SG&A spend, including amortization for the quarter, is $176 million, an increase by 15% year-on-year. As guided in our previous call, this increase is primarily on account of the ongoing quality improvement activities Also, during the quarter, there was sizable outlay towards launch-related activities by our proprietary products business. This is for the launch of Gembrace, which has been already launched in April, and targeted launch of Sanivo in the coming weeks. Normalized for these charges, the increase in SG&A relates to manpower and other spend and is marginal. R&D expenses for the quarter are at $74 million, representing 13% to revenues versus 13.3% in the corresponding quarter of the previous year. This spend is largely in line with the ongoing state of developmental activities. As you are all aware, the Venezuelan government recently announced the long-pending devaluation of the Bolivar. As per the announcement, the erstwhile official rate of 6.3 Bolivars to a US dollar is now devalued to Bolivars 10 per US dollar. Over the years, we have not received approvals to repatriate amount beyond $4 million. While we continue to engage with the Venezuelan government, however, in the interim, it is appropriate to use the DICOM rate, that is 272.5 bolivar per dollar, instead of official preferential rate, that is 10 bolivar per dollar, for translating the monetary assets and liabilities of the Venezuelan subsidiary as at 31st March 2016. Accordingly, the resultant impact of Q4 FY16 and fiscal 2016 is rupees 431 crore and rupees 509 crore respectively. After considering the above adjustment, EBITDA for the quarter stands at $73 million, which is 12.8% to the revenue. Normalized for this change, the adjusted EBITDA would have been 24% for the quarter. Tax expense for the quarter is high, primarily on account of proposed distribution of profits by a subsidiary and exceptional translation loss provision with respect to Venezuela. Normalized for these two, the annual effective tax rate is within the range as guided earlier. Key balance sheet highlights are as follows. Our working capital further decreased by $33 million during the quarter. Capital expenditure for the quarter was at $49 million. As of 31st March 2016, we have net cash surplus of $97 million. Our net debt to equity ratio is now at negative 0.05. During the year, we have generated rupees 2,668 crore of free cash flows versus rupees 1468 crore generated last year. Foreign currency cash flow hedges for the next 12 months in the form of derivatives and loans for US dollar are approximately $290 million, largely hedged around the range of rupees 64.4 to rupees 69.3 to the dollar. In addition, we have balance sheet hedges of $253 million. We also have foreign currency cash flow hedges of ruble 900 million at the rate of rupees 0.94 to the ruble and euro 6 million, largely hedged around rupees 75 to rupees 82.05 to the euro, maturing over next 12 months. With this, I now request Abhijit to take us through the key business highlights.
Thank you, Soumen. Greetings to everybody, and I extend a warm welcome to you on this earnings conference call. As you would remember, in the last call, we had alluded to many external challenges, and this quarter has been more or less in line with those. We would also acknowledge the trend of fourth quarter numbers witnessing a sequential dip in the offtake for U.S. injectables portfolio, seasonal dip in Q4 across branded markets of India and Russia. Irrespective of these quarterly movements, I believe that the underlying performance across geographies was quite resilient this quarter. Further, we continue to spend considerable amount of time and efforts towards ongoing quality improvement and risk mitigation activities. Now, let me take you through some of the highlights for each of the key markets. Please note that in the section, all references to numbers are in respective local currencies. Our North America revenues are $285 million and grew by 4% year-on-year. FY16 revenues at $1.17 billion and grew 12%. As alluded earlier, the sequential dip is primarily on account of higher offtake of injectable products during third quarter and marginal adjustment with respect to the competition coming in valganciclovir. Overall, we were able to sustain pricing and market shares across our key molecules. We further consolidated our market share position in metoprolol, sumatriptan, auto-injector, and esomeprazole. Recently, USFDA approved our ANDA and 505(b)(2) filings of telanocetron. Overall, approvals have been an issue through the year, partly on account of ongoing FDA matters and partly as an impact of calendarization of our filings. However, we believe that the approval scenario to improve going forward more skewed towards second half of the year. On the OTC front, Habixol is well integrated now and we have started working towards increasing the customer base and also expanding the overall franchise further. During the quarter, macroeconomic factors continue to impact most of our emerging market territories. Despite these headwinds, in constant currency terms, Russia business grew by 12% year-on-year in Q4 and 1% for full year 2016. Through the year, focus has been to improve the productivity, broadening the product portfolio, and entering new geographies by leveraging the current portfolio. Recently, we received the registration for our brand of rituximab Veritax in Russia. We are now working towards pricing approval and preparation for tender in Venezuela. As discussed earlier, repatriations are significantly low levels, and hence, we chose to apply the official market exchange rate to record the translation loss that Sovin explained. However, we will continue to actively engage with the New Zealand government to provide affordable medicine to fulfill the need of the people of the country, subject to repatriation of funds. India business revenues are 527 crore and grew by 11% year-on-year. Portfolio acquired from UCB has been fully integrated in our supply chain. FY16 revenues for India market at 2129 crore grew by 19%. PHI business posted revenues of 86 million and declined 28% year-on-year. This decline is primarily attributed to delayed dispatches on account of ongoing remediation activities. However, sequentially we grew 11%. Our efforts are directed towards building a healthy order book. On the proprietary product side, post final approval from USFDA, we are happy to announce the launch of Zembrace. Ternivo will be launched in the coming weeks. We all are really excited about this new journey. This is a critical milestone in our bid to establish portfolio differentiated assets in the United States. On the ongoing quality improvement activities, we submitted our first update to FDA on January 28th, followed by a second one on March 30th this year, stating our progress towards sustainable compliance. We believe most of our commitments to the agency will be over by the end of this quarter, and post which we will request the agency for re-inspection. With this, I open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use only handset while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, please press star and one.
Yeah,
the first question is from the line of Manoj Garg from HealthCo. Please proceed.
Hi, good evening, guys. Just a few from me. One, I'm just trying to better understand your commentary around quality improvements. Can you update us on the remediation efforts at Sri Kekulam and the associated timelines there? Two, it sounds like you're pointing to an improvement in the pace of approvals in the second half of the year. So in general, is that when you're expecting some resolution there? And then three, lastly, we saw about 200 basis points of gross margin erosion year over year. The U.S. guys are definitely talking a lot about price erosion. So maybe if you can, you know, spend some time and just update us as to what you're seeing in the marketplace in the U.S. on the pricing front.
So I'll take it, Manoj. On the quality front, as I mentioned post the warning letter in the first week of November, our first update went towards the end of January and the second one towards the end of March. We are planning to provide the third update towards the end of May, by which time, you know, very large part of the commitments we made to the agency would be completed. And soon after, we intend to seek an audience and thereafter request for reinspection. Beyond that, of course, as you would expect, that we can't comment, and it's up to the agency when they would come and see. Broadly, as we had mentioned earlier, I think the resources spent, the management bandwidth put in is very, very substantial, both from the manpower side and also financially. And we feel quite good about the progress made, while, of course, this is a journey. So this is on the quality. Launches, as usual, we'll not get into numbers, but this is likely to be certainly much better than last year. Last year was a very tepid year. It's going to be brisk, a little loaded towards the second half, starting second quarter. You know, this is not to do entirely on the sites to come back or something of that sort, because there are filings are from various locations actually. And also launched through partner sites and so on and so forth. So when I'm making the comments that it's going to be a brisk year for launches, I mean, we are taking into account that, the uncertainty is related to regulatory aspects, litigation aspects, but of course, based on reasonable assumptions, we were cautiously optimistic on the launches. Third, in price erosion, I think rather simplistically, I mentioned that, you know, we have managed to contain erosion, but to give you a little more flavor on that, I think, of course, there is, the value erosion, but what has happened is, by and large, the same amount has been counterbalanced by increase in volume of the base business, which basically means that we had to adjust prices in a few, we gave up a little bit somewhere, so in some places, and we won several new bids as well. Broadly, the two nullifying each other. Okay?
All right, so I guess, can you give us a number? I mean, in terms of, you know, what kind of pricing erosion that your, you know, base business is seeing in the U.S.? And then just a follow-up on the regulatory. So this past quarter, you know, just to give us some confidence that, you know, this is not a, or that the agencies are not concerned with the system-wide issues, were there any successful investigations, you know, this past quarter?
So back to the erosion, you know, a lot of last couple of weeks have seen, you know, various companies talking of price erosions, we are pretty much in agreement with those figures. You know, if you just stand alone price erosion, high single digit, but the, as I mentioned, the value of the volume increase nullifying a similar amount. So that that probably broadly gives you some indication on price erosion. On the, you know, quality and limitation, I gave you the brief about those three sites, but you were asking about more general things. I think we are getting the, you know, and probably we mentioned the last phone call as well, that EIRs of, you know, most of other sites which are audited is coming in one by one, and there is nothing adverse to comment at this juncture. Overall, you know, a few other sites, one or two other sites got EIR, closure of audit, etc. So we are not able to read anything negative, to be clear.
Okay, great. Thank you for the time.
Thank you very much. Our next question is from the line of Anubhav Agarwal from Credit Suisse. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi, guys. Good evening. My one question is on the recent deals.
Anubhav, can you be...
Mr. Agarwal, can we request you to speak a bit loud? Your voice is very low.
Sure. So recent deals that we've done on the face compounds, I just wanted to understand that is there a target that we're working in terms of next 5 years from this kind of division, or do we have a target on how much we want to spend on this? Because when we had the R&D day, we did not even talk about this as a possible segment that we will target. So that appears that this is something new that we guys are pursuing now.
You know, repeat the question, the initial part of the question.
Yes.
Different deals.
Basically, compounds. Yeah. So we done like deal with Xenoport recently, or ISI recently.
So Anubhav, I'll request Dushyant to speak. Dushyant, you are on the line.
I am, Kedar.
Yes. Yeah. So the question was, Dushyant, this is a new segment that is emerging in our portfolio. Do we have some broad targets in terms of the next 5 years? Not in financial terms, but in terms of our the shape of our portfolio.
Sure. So broadly, we have been, as you all know, building a significant pipeline organically across dermatology, medical dermatology, across multiple disease areas, and also in neurology across migraine, epilepsy, and Parkinson's. Our intent is to continue to prosecute these development stage assets and bring them to market, to commercialize, as we have shown success exemplified by Zembrace approval and Cernival approval. So over the next 5 years, our goal is to continue with this success that we've demonstrated over the past several years and continue to address the needs of patients across these multiple disease areas. As far as our investments, they will be in line with the guidance that both Shalman and Abhijit have shared with you in these assets. And as far as business development, those will be in line with our objectives of continuing to address the patient needs in these disease areas.
Thank you, Dushan.
Yes, thank you. Just following up on that, am I audible?
Yeah, you are audible now.
Yes. So just following up on that, just so this segment is in, so, you know, the areas remain the same that we were doing so far in proprietary products, but the profile changes certainly. Now we are looking at moving away from the incremental innovation. We are now looking at absolute innovation here. Is that a change in strategy? What prompted us to take this decision of absolute innovation?
So it is still not absolute, you know, it is still in the line of, you know, really taking care of undermet kind of a, you know, medical needs. And if you are really, you know, alluding towards are we putting more capital allocation for proprietary products business segment to fuel growth for the company in the period beyond 2019, then yes, we are doing that. And while bulk of it will happen through the organic R&D route, we have also tried to expedite early commercialization kind of opportunities, as well as investing further on something which is in an advanced R&D pipeline in a similar area.
That's also just one clarity on the results also. The depreciation number that you guys report, that sequentially have moved up very sharply by almost 38 crore. What have you commercialized that such a sharp increase in depreciation? Because our annual capex is 1200 crore. That cannot lead to such a sharp increase in quarterly depreciation of 38 crore.
Yeah, Anubhav, I think that's in line with some of the high value capitalization of some of our assets. Some of those are in ACZ, some of those are in Hyderabad. It's a combination of both.
But Kedar, so that will be captured in the 1200 crore capex that we're doing, right?
No, this is the 1200 crores would be the cash flow, Anubhav. The capitalization is so converting a WIP into a gross block, you know, so that accounting charge would have created this kind of thing. I can connect with you separately, Anubhav.
Sure, sure. And just lastly, on the Venezuela write-off that we've taken, is that all in the net interest cost number? Is there, so is that all below EBITDA number?
It comes in F line.
A large part of that is in F line. There are certain, so we have chosen to follow the statement for all the assets. So there is a part in the COGS line as well. Large part in Forex line, a little bit in COGS and AGNA. That's our display.
How much will the number above EBITDA?
So I think when we compute EBITDA, we take the entire thing above as part of EBITDA. So we only take out the interest and income from mutual funds out. But if you want a split between F line, about 80, more than 85% is booked in F line. Balance 15% is booked in COGS and AGNA put together.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Girish Bakru from HSBC. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. First on Redux registration in Russia, congratulations on that. Can you give a color on what size of the market that is and when do we expect the launch of the product?
Post the price registration approval is there, so that's in the process. And, you know, the tenders come with a certain calendar frequency. So we won't be able to comment exactly which one we would be able to catch. But the good news is the process has started. That's the good news. And, you know, at the moment, certainly this will be, few tens of billion dollars for the company, but beyond that, I wouldn't be able to, how much will be the erosion, how much is this thing, very difficult to say. Yeah, but low few tens of million dollars, I guess.
Just clarification here. I mean, given the amount of sales BioCADS SLB is doing, I think it's in the order of over 100 billion. Your number seems fairly low. Is it because it will take time to ramp up?
No, it's a tender market, fully subsidized, fully government. This fall in the seven nosologies, as it's called in Russia, so it will be fully covered by the government. But there is naturally would be First of all, we'll need to see which tender we are able to catch and what part of the year we are getting in. I mean, we'll, as much as we'll try as quickly as possible. Secondly, there'll have to be, you know, certain correction in pricing based on the principles followed in Russia on how they would look at the various market pricing and so on and so forth. Naturally, the competitor would have to match similar pricing. And so, no, it's not about share or anything, but pricing correction.
Right. Second, on the FDA front, I mean, you said that probably your remediation will be over by end of the quarter. So when you are inviting FDA, ideally, one would assume you would invite for inspection of all three sites simultaneously, right? And is that something that you think is a very possible scenario, that FDA visits all three sites together?
Yeah. So, you know, how agency would inspect sites would be difficult for me to comment. But point is that remediation, your question is probably that, is, are the remediation activities going in parallel in all sites? The answer is yes. Are they progressing satisfactorily in all sites? The answer is yes. When we go and, you know, sort of meet up and request, we naturally would give overall three sites, as well as, you know, our extension of many of those things in other sites, the whole picture. And then it's up to the agency how they want to sort of audit.
Right. And just lastly on India, I mean, given the growth that we saw last quarter, I mean, bit surprised by lower growth this quarter. Any particular element why India did not do that well? Was there a particular impact from recent price corrections in the market? Any color on that?
So one is, of course, the oncology business was a little slow. Institutional oncology business was a little slow in Q4. And the second is, you know, quarter to quarter, you know, quarter end, cutoffs vary to a certain extent, so that had some more impact. Not that much about all the confusion and turmoil that is there in the market, not so much. But overall, you know, I don't read too much into the quarter. Overall, the year has been a robust year, and this year also, by and large, a mid-teen type of a thing is not unusual, not like, you know, we would look forward to it.
So how much portfolio is currently under DPCO?
More or less our, you know, NLEM impact is in line with most of the peer group companies. Probably the first one, we got a big hit when omeprazole came in, but the rest ones, we are probably tracking a little bit lower than some of the peer group companies. And the good news is on the FDC issue, where which has been another you know, topic which is much in news these days, the FDCs which are not scientifically justifiable, our impact is almost negligible, which, so it's not about so much about the financial impact, but we're feeling good that it vindicates the scientific approach in our product selection.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prakash Agarwal from Axis Capital. Please proceed.
Yeah, thanks and good evening to all. Sir, question on U.S. business. You did mention that you are, you know, expecting approvals picking up from second half of the year. And given the fact that a couple of your key products in the market are started to see some more competition, would you be able to give some color on the U.S. business panning out for fiscal 17?
In general terms, you know, I can't give you, again, a quantified sort of guidance. But general terms, yeah, I mean, we have started with a little bit of a negative note, as you all know, Valvin Ciclovir in March went generic, fairly steep correction with just one player in. So that certainly has you know, major impact. Generic Vidaza has also seen, I think, Mylan's approval and 505B2 as well, but that is yet to be felt. There would be some impact, but, you know, certainly Givalta it was steeper. Regarding going ahead on the launches, again, I'll say it will be a brisk year of launches. Again, subject to all the cautionary note and assumptions, etc., you know, it's certainly going to be, you know, a year where we used to see it like in a couple of years back, you know, series of launches, similar sort of a thing, but a little backloaded. The breakup would be probably about 40-45% injectables, about 40% oral solids, and the balance being a patch and a cream.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, given the fact that you already saw some margin pressure coming up, and with the, you know, the facts that you just stated on your key products seeing competition, so just trying to understand the margin trajectory as well.
Look, I mean, as far as the last year was concerned, I told you that the fall in pricing was counterbalanced by volume gain, roughly, very roughly here, I think, since the year has passed behind us, roughly about 100 million fall in prices, about 100 million volume increase, counterbalancing each other. Now, going into next year, of course, as I said, Givalta site has an impact, but it all depends on the launches, you know, how you know, they're, some of them are not so bad, and depends on how it pans out, the margin will sort of play out. Look, the honest answer is, you know, it'll be foolish to even put in a, you know, conjecture here. Of course, we have a budget, but you know how North American generics work. If in the face of launches, there is always that possible upside and possible not so great upside. So margins, I wouldn't be able to give you guidance on that.
Sure, so thanks. And lastly, on some color on the Nexium pickup, already are you seeing the market fairly stabilized now? You do expect still some market share ramp up? And lastly, on the Copaxone update, please. Thank you.
So, Genexium is there's some, you know, for us at least, there's some good news in, you know, there's some, you know, sort of shake up in the market because of similar issue in Bangalore. So there was some part of the market got vacated, and I think we could, you know, because our you know, entire supply chain was pretty well poised, we could take advantage of it. And now I think it'll play out in the next few weeks. I'll see the shares. I think we are certainly going to have due share in the market. And what's the last one you want?
Copaxone.
Yeah. Copaxone, by the way, Nexium, I mean, the pricing is, of course, with entries got eroded, but still attractive enough. On Copaxone, I think we'll try and see whether towards the end of, by the end of Q2, we are able to comprehensively answer the CR. We are working towards it, so unless we see more unforeseen things, and there's a whole deep characterization, some done here, some done in various parts of the world, in various other locations. If you're able to put in together, we'll give it a shot, whether by end of Q2, comprehensive answer this year.
Okay, sir. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manoj Garg from Merrill Lynch. Please proceed.
Good evening and thanks for taking my question. Abhijit, like while you have alluded on, you know, the generic pricing scenario in the U.S., you know, over the next 1 year, But just would like to pick your mind from a little long-term perspective that how this whole thing is likely to play out once you start seeing the acceleration in approval and even people are talking about maybe potential, you know, combination of Except Scripts and Walgreens. So just would like to see, you know, over the next 2-3 years, how do you see the whole scenario playing out?
So life is going to be very eventful, if I can say the least. Firstly, erosion at the bottom end with multiple approvals coming in. Impact due to ongoing expectations of the agency for everyone to ramp up the quality levels. So these two would be a continuing factor in the whole game. But to summarize, I think when things were much better earlier when it was less crowded and one could get more upsides from the here, unless the assets are good, and I probably repeat what I have said all along, that everything would be in the type of products which we, you know, file and get approval. And in what time frame? It's with the consolidated back end. The customer end. If you're very late, you can probably lead erosion of price, but you may not benefit in the process. So finally, back to R&D and productivity and success of R&D.
Okay. And Abhijit, I think a couple of quarters back, you have made a comment on Gleevec, like probably you are seeing the launch maybe a couple of quarters after, Sun Pharma's exclusivity. Now, given the fact that Gleevec is there in the market and even Novartis had made a comment that they do expect 4 to 6 players, post-exclusivity, where do we stand and do you see Gleevec probably a launch this fiscal year itself?
This fiscal year, yes. Number of competition in between anyone's guess. 4 to 6 in our view is a little high, but I don't know. Beyond that, we would know.
Fair enough. And just last question from my side. On your property portfolio, we understand you have the dump field force, but with regard to your CNS, are we going to use a separate field force, or like probably you feel that the current field force could be good to even promote the CNS products as well?
Dushyant, you want to take this question?
Sure. Thank you, Kedar. For our neurology portfolio, we have deployed a dedicated sales force for Zembrace. This sales force calls on primary migraine treatment providers. So this is a distinct force from the dermatology sales force.
And can you share the number, like how many reps the people who we have who are directly going to call the doctors?
Yeah, the strength of the team is roughly 50.
50.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I wish you all the best. That's all from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Neha Manpuria from JP Morgan. Please proceed.
Thanks for taking my question, sir. My first question is, you alluded to, having some remediation cost in this quarter. One, how much was this cost? And second, is this all in the SG&A? Is that the right assumption? Or, there are some other parts where this cost was reflected?
This is part of SG&A. So roughly, mainly it is the consultant cost, and it will be to the tune of around $20 million.
And since we are talking about completing remediation towards the end of this quarter, I'm assuming this will, we'll see additional cost in this quarter, and then probably that will normalize.
It will not become zero, but it will substantially reduce.
Got it. Secondly, in terms of R&D, we indicated that we were increasing investment towards our proprietary product portfolio. And I read somewhere that our guidance still remains 11 to 12% of sales. And we're adding more assets. So how should we look at R&D going forward? I would have assumed that, this number would inch up as we're looking at more novel products now.
Yeah, if it is going to be successful and we take it forward, it may.
But currently we're sticking to our 11 to 12% guidance. Is that correct?
It may go up beyond 12%. But it will all depend on, the reaching milestones and being successful and taking it forward. Then accordingly we'll decide.
Got it. And my last question is, we've seen very strong cash flow generation this year, of course. Even after a buyback, we have a healthy balance sheet. How should we look at inorganic growth opportunities, M&A? Are we evaluating and what would be our areas of interest?
Buyback process has started. It is not yet completed. So, of course, whatever we are going to earmark for buyback, we'll have to take it, from the current balance sheet and not, it is not after that. But we have been focusing a lot on growth, both organic and inorganic. So at any point of time, there will be a few targets which we are looking for. But at the same time, as I have alluded to earlier, there are very strict set of criteria we apply. So if there is a meaningful target, we will definitely pursue.
And would U.S. be our primary market of focus, or we're open to doing deals in other markets too?
India also will be very open if there is a good target available.
Got it. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Surya Patra from PhillipCapital. Please proceed.
Yeah. Thanks for this opportunity, sir. So again, continuing on the R&D aspect. Can you just give us some update on the biosimilar portfolio for the advanced market? What is the kind of a developmental progress that we have seen so far?
Nothing different from what we have been saying. The journey with Merck Serono is progressing satisfactorily. As I said, that none of those launches are in near term. But while on that, I think the clinical this thing is progressing satisfactorily on that list.
So those are like in phase 3?
Yeah, it's still, as if you're talking of finally the launch, it's still a few years away.
Okay. And second question is that, as you indicated in the initial remarks itself, that you're seeing some sort of price correction and all that in U.S., and possibly that is the reason for a sequential decline in the gross margin. So should we consider that this is a kind of a new norm, what gross margin that we are seeing for the quarter or even for the full year?
Maybe a quarter or two before the new launches pick up, as told by Abhijit in the second half of the year.
First two quarters, as you can guess from whatever we spoke so far, couple of assets, coming under competitive pressure. Our launch is a little more heavy towards the second half. Given this, it's safe to assume a muted first half.
Okay.
And also the remediation cost, which someone mentioned, some of it will run into this quarter and substantially thin down thereafter.
Okay, just last one more question on that Venezuela side. See, after this kind of a write back, is there any kind of negative surprise still there, or what is our stance on that, or what can you just give some clarity on that front?
No, with this, after this entire translation loss, in Indian rupee terms, all that we have is very negligible, less than even 15 crore. So actually, we have taken a complete that way provision.
And what is the kind of revenue?
If there is any, by chance, if there is any repatriation comes, it could be on the reverse side. Then we will have to reverse.
Okay. Okay. And the likely decline on the revenue side, that would be how big on Venezuela side?
Venezuela is stopped selling completely, actually. Last quarter, we didn't sell anything.
Okay.
Almost, because now here onwards the game is completely different. As we mentioned, we remain very, very focused to the geography because we think there is opportunity. There we are signed two deals with two government organizations. They're keen to have the biologics in because it's a win-win for them because we and for us because we bring in healthcare savings substantial. And with all that, actually, so we will stay very, very focused. But the only thing the game has changed that it's always, you know, established, advanced through a certain bank
group. Or an LC, yeah.
Yeah, or an LC before we dispatch. But we stay fully committed. In fact, you know, President Maduro mentioned our company specifically that they're very happy to sort of done a deal to, and but the only thing is, you know, that's all fine, but there is turmoil in the geography, so till we see business rolling in, we can't bank on that.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, sir. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sayan Mukherjee from Nomura. Please proceed.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. On the proprietary product side, on the Xenoport asset which you have licensed in, can you give us some indication on the timeline and cost involved in development for the drug for psoriasis and also for multiple sclerosis if there are any thoughts at this stage?
Dushan, would you take this question?
Sure, Kedar, thank you. With regard to the clinical development timeline, our plan is to very quickly within this fiscal to initiate the phase 3 study. As you know, this asset had completed a large phase 2. So our intent is to continue the momentum and enter the clinic very, very soon. As far as MS is concerned, we, as you know, were able to incorporate that as part of the deal where we see it as an upside. And so at this moment, we are evaluating the potential clinical design and strategy for that indication.
Mm-hmm. And just on the phase 3 trial, how long will that take in your view, and what's the cost involved?
With regard to the timeline, we see this in line with those who have conducted psoriasis studies within the moderate to severe patient population.
Mm-hmm.
That can range. That roughly is in the 18 to 24 month time period.
Okay. Okay.
And as far as cost is concerned, we also see that as in line with those studies required to get the label indication we seek.
Okay. And since you launched Zembrace, any initial feedback that you have?
We've only been on the market for a couple of weeks, as you know, and the feedback from our constituents, physicians, and patients has been very positive as far as data and scripts that, as you know, take some time to go through adjudication and the reporting databases have a lag. So we do not have that data as of today.
Okay. And one final question on your gross margins. If I see the material cost as a percentage of sales, they have in fact come down a little bit QOQ. The other expenditure as part of COGS has gone up substantially. So what is the nature of that expense, if you can just explain that?
One we alluded to is the remediation cost itself. You are talking about the gross margin.
Yeah.
So one will be the business mix, which is there. You know, if you see the global generics, if the pie is much higher, then the weighted average gross margin for the company becomes significantly improved compared to if the PSAI business mix goes up, then it goes in the reverse way.
Mm-hmm. Just one last question, if I can. Abhijit, you mentioned about the kind of launches you're looking for fiscal 17. And as we move into fiscal 18, will the mix more or less remain same, like 40-45% injectables, or you think there would be more of injectables and patches as you go into FY 18? And also in terms of number of launches, how would FY 18 compare to FY 17?
FY 18 would be a little come in because naturally, you know, there are always every year some move flows from the early year to next year, but the nature would be somewhat similar. The makeup of the whole thing, and I said about 40-45%, it should be in the same range. That itself is really high, given the fact that overall, you know, the generic portfolio in worldwide is 80% oral solids, and the rest is all between injectables and topicals and et cetera, devices and other things. So there, I think this itself is, you know, substantially skewed with a purpose and a design. And I think broadly, if we can maintain a similar one, I think we should be good.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is in the line of Abhishek Sharma from IIFL. Please proceed.
Thanks for taking my questions. Most of them have been answered. I just had one around your commentary on the prior year's change in the U.S. dynamics. You said that there was a fall in prices and then that was compensated by volumes. I just wanted to understand where exactly did you see this volume uptake? Was it led by, was it in the same products where you, saw the price erosion, or was it a different set of products, and whether that could be extrapolated to the next year? Thanks.
So two parts of the volume increase. Actually, the volume meaning eventually translates to value, of course. The first is some supply failures by, other competitor companies. That would account for a significant part of that, which happened to be in the portfolio and our supply chain is geared to take it. As you know, in U.S., someone may have supply failure, but you need to have the supply chain robustness to quickly capitalize because, no one's waiting for anyone. So that has been one part. And the second part is, of course, some companies, as you know, go into bids. Piecemeal here and there, some bids added up the balance. Win in the bids added up the balance.
Right. All right. So it was basically largely on account of disruption at competitors in a few products.
Both. I don't have an exact breakup, but I'm just quickly trying to put things together. There is a reasonable part of that is supply failure. Yes.
Fair enough, sir. And just one more, which is in the ROW, X of Venezuela, would it be fair to say that your business has grown at 25% plus kind of a number? I mean, my rough calculation gives me a very high number.
No, that's not, I don't know.
Yeah, so the ROW outside Venezuela is largely Australia, South Africa, and a number of small markets, Abhishek.
Yeah.
There's been a currency hit there as well. I think the local currency number could be double digit, but eventually in rupees it's smaller.
All right. Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take our last two questions now. The next question is from the line of Chirag Dagli from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please proceed.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, as you look at your U.S. portfolio in FY17, do you think price erosion for the base business will be much larger than in FY16?
So, again, erosion per se without taking into account, new launches, et cetera, certainly will be higher, because GVAL side itself is quite a reasonable hit. The answer is yes, and hence it's important that we have the launches.
fair point. And sir, post our entry in Russia for Rituxan, what will be the price discount versus the innovator's product at the final level, you know, once there is sort of, we are in the market?
So actually the market is more with BioCAD actually, as you know. You know, earlier in the call someone mentioned some figure. So there would have to be a discount and, you know, it's a partnership launch. So I gave a rough indication of, you know, low tens of million on an annualized basis. So let's see how
this is spent. This is for us. Okay. And what would be our CapEx for next 2 years?
So around 1,200 crores.
This is for FY17, no?
Yeah.
And then similar number for FY18 as well?
Well, maybe a couple of years it could be at that level and after that it may come down.
Fair point. So, my only point, sir, is that, I mean, we are, last 3 years, CapEx has been significant, so have been the R&D investments. If you can give us some color of, you know, what broad buckets does this CapEx, you know, say last couple of years and the next couple of years, sort of broadly fit, you know, where do they fall? What are these, what is this CapEx for?
When we really launched our injectable business, it was all getting, you know, outsourced from others. Then we have developed the whole capacity in-house now. Then, of course, we have also built a facility for topical and others that we didn't have. Even on, you know, on WSD side, there was a requirement to expand the capacity because if you can't have a capacity constraint when there is an opportunity in the market. Because if you cannot, catch on opportunities, then, the devil I mean. And also, going forward, there will be requirement to expand our even biologics capacity a bit, particularly on an emerging market perspective, if there are more and more countries, if we are going to get approvals.
Yeah.
And there are capex also in other areas. For example, we are considerably stepping up investment even in IT, more from, robustness of quality is concerned, some automation. And then, even on the cybersecurity perspective. So all these add up to that.
Fair point, sir. And last question, if I may, sir, do we continue to do business in Venezuela?
As Abhijit already said, we are very actively engaged with the Venezuela government. There are two contracts which have been signed with both government companies. So only condition to the contract is that we will dispatch only when we get either the LC or some advance. And the moment we get, we will then have that business there.
But then the profits on that business will be converted at this lower rate or at the higher rate, sir?
No, I mean, the thing is, we always position ourselves as a company coming from India where the medicine is more affordable. So accordingly, our pricing will be on that. Now, so far as the thing is there, it is on preferred preferential rate kind of thing, official preferential rate. As and when we get LCN thing, it will be on the preferential rate.
So these contracts largely will be in US dollars, simply put. Yeah.
Also, we'll continue to record at the higher rate and then we'll wait and see if we get the money.
No. What Abhijit is saying, the contract itself, the money that we get, we'll straight away get the dollar, so there is no need to have Bolivar and then have a particular rate of translation.
Oh, that is the change that we are looking for. Okay. Yeah. Fair. Oh, thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Surajit Pal from Prabhudas Liladhar. Please proceed.
Thanks for taking my questions. Most of the things are pretty much answered. Could you please give some idea that if remediation cost is not there, how much benefit could be seen in EBITDA margin? And what could be your effective tax rate in FY17 and 18? And number of site transfer you have done, till date or in FY17, where you could expect or that could help your launch in FY17 and 18 as planned?
So, it will be very easy for you to compute what would have been the EBITDA if you take out that, $20 million that I alluded to for the remediation cost.
$20 million you mentioned.
Then, in terms of the effective tax rate, even for this year, it was between 21 to 22%, as I explained earlier. The adjustment which has happened because of two reasons. One is this whole transaction loss of Venezuela. Other is we have decided to, you know, we will look forward to repatriate some money from subsidiary. And so that changes your tax listing. And on the...
So about 4 or 5 have already been executed in the site transfer. One or two approved, one, two already submitted, and as we speak, some executed, and just to be in the process of being submitted, a few more. So we are more or less here onward, whatever we lost, we lost, as I said last time, but going ahead, you know, we're trying to see we mitigate the balance.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Upadhyay for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you all for joining Dr. Reddy's senior management for Q4 FY16 earnings call. In case of any additional clarifications, please feel free to get in touch with the investor relations team. Thank you and good day.
Thank you very much, members of management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Dr. Reddy's Laboratories Limited, that concludes today's conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.